My most effective affirmations are done during my meditations. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. My most effective affirmations are done during my meditations. Now, when I am meditating, when I am just becoming very quiet and very still, and just listening within, theoretically, I have nothing on my mind at all. I'm just sitting there quietly meditating, quietly listening within, quietly doing nothing but just being at peace. And then something pops up in my mind, and it says, you're whole and perfect. And so then I say to myself, oh, okay, I'm whole and perfect. Now this happens during my meditation, and I have nothing to object to it. I have no thoughts that tell me it cannot be so, and it will not be so. It just is absolutely perfect. And as you do that, wonderful things happen to you. You have a sense of naturalness. You know, it's natural that you're whole and perfect. It's natural that you're doing this. Now, I've been telling Ingeborg, you're going to live a couple hundred years more, and I expect you to live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body throughout however long you choose to live. When you leave, let your body do whatever you want to do. But as long as you're here, your body's whole and perfect. So now, what about you and me? In our meditation, and we think about living a happy, wholesome, wonderful life. And as I walked up here from the Hermitage this evening for supper, this full moon, the moon is just absolutely round and glorious and big and bright. And I was walking along thinking, what a glorious moon. How perfect it is. Hey, that's like my body. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. Now, that moon is always perfect. Now, we don't always see it as perfect because some big hussy gets in the way and hides it from us. Now, who's that big hussy that gets in the way? The Earth. The Earth gets in the way and eclipses the moon and pretends that the moon's not there, or at least it's only half there, half a moon, quarter moon, third moon, you know, and it's all there. It's just that big Earth gets a big fat belly in the way and hides the moon. Doesn't let the sun shine on the moon to reveal it. Now, the moon is always there, whether we can see it or not. And really, the moon always has light shining on it. Because the little flickering of a star going by and seeming to occlude the moon for a second is momentarily. It's so instantaneous, it's nothing. And even the Earth keeping the sun from the moon is just an instantaneous thing. The moon just goes around, around, around. Now, is the moon always, you know, they like to say the moon has a dark side. It has a side that we never see. Well, do you believe that?
No.
Or do you believe that the moon is always turning?
Mm-hmm.
The moon is rotating, and we should be able to see one side as much as the other. Now, why do scientists like to say that they haven't seen the dark side of the moon? They wonder what the dark side of the moon looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should look when the dark side is showing. Now, am I wrong in saying that the dark side of the moon shows? Or am I right in saying it shows? Am I wrong in saying that the dark side of the moon cannot show because it never comes forth? Or am I right in saying the dark side of the moon is out as often as the bright side of the moon? And they look quite similar. And oftentimes we can't even tell the difference. Now, you are a woman, and you're looking at the moon. What do you see? You see a woman in the moon.
Uh-huh.
You're a man, you're looking at the moon. Most astronomers in the past have been men. And what did they see?
A man.
A man in the moon. Well, now, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? You see what you want to see. Now, is that moon ever going to be less than whole? Is it ever going to run into some asteroid or something which is going to blow it to pieces? Or is it going to do these any of these things? No. Will that moon be there forever?
Yes.
It'll be there forever as far as our human beingness knows it. It'll be there for thousands and millions and perhaps billions of years. And why not? Now, why is it we are not going to be here for billions of years? Well,
yeah.
We are not going to be here for billions of years because we tell ourselves we're not going to be here for billions. You cannot conceive of living in your body for a billion years. In this body? Well, that's right. You're a very poor caretaker of your body. You're a very poor caretaker because you say your body is less than perfect. You say your body is not beautiful. You say your body is not eternal. You say your body is not. And of course, your body says, well, if that's what you think about me, okay. I'll fade out. I'll age. I'll leave you. Yeah, I'll just dump you. And I'll take on somebody, maybe, who has a consciousness that is immortal, like me. You know? No. Do you think immortal beings have ever existed? And that they do now exist?
Yes.
And the answer is, of course, yes. Immortal beings existed all the time and are existing now. And the games that we play are just games that we play. Is that our reality?
No.
Yes. That's our reality. Now, is that an illusion? Yes. You're afraid to answer that, weren't you? Is that an illusion? Yes. Our reality is illusion just as much as the immortality is an illusion, you know. And why do we say that? We say that because this is a game we're playing. Now, do you want to play with a game that has only six marbles? Then you learn to play with six marbles. You're going to play a game with 12 marbles? You're going to learn to play a game with 12 marbles. You're going to play a game with 50 marbles? You're going to play a game with 50 marbles. You're going to have to learn. See, that gets complicated. Isn't that one of them? You wouldn't play the game unless you're ready for it. You will play the game of immortality as soon as you're ready for it. Now, how can you get ready for it, Sylvia? Don't answer. Ellen, how can you get ready for it?
Saying I'm immortal.
I'm sorry?
By saying I live forever.
By saying I am immortal is correct. But if you just enunciate your words, articulate them as you speak them, then they will be more beneficial to me and you both. Now, how would you have yourself live forever?
It's an immortal being.
What's an immortal being?
It is always...
What is an immortal being?
Immortal.
What?
A being.
What?
I.
You?
Yes.
Well, say it.
Yes.
I
am.
What?
Immortal being.
I am an immortal being. Oh, my goodness. I thought you'd never get there. Now, you see, that's how long it takes us to get there sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, Ellen doesn't enunciate. She doesn't articulate her words. And so me, having been raised in American English, find it very difficult to come up with some of her German English, you know. And when you don't enunciate the words in American English, I say, what? What did you mean? How did you mean that, you know? And it's just like the British English, when my friends in Russia were speaking British English. Now, I think this is the way we're going to do it, you know. And I thought, oh, good. I mean, I'm glad they were speaking English I could understand. But I had to pay attention because with all of their, what would you say, with all the flowers that they were putting on top of their English words, it was kind of hard for me to catch it right away. But after a while, I got accustomed to it. And I did it. Now, perhaps if I had talked with Ellen more often, I would become accustomed to her way of speaking English. Now, really, Ellen, it's true. Now, we watched a show the other night, couple nights ago, and we had seen the show once, and it was a little boring. And then we watched it, and I was watching it alone, I think. And I turned up the volume so I could hear it very clearly and beautifully, and all of a sudden, the show was interesting.
Mm.
Whereas it had not been interesting before, because I didn't understand half the things they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps I should get some sort of a headphone, you know, mm-hmm. that I can listen more completely and hear it, because I probably, even in my headphone YouTube, would have it louder than you would have it normally, because you're used to whispering, you know. And that's great. But you see, you got to stop and think. What is poor hearing? Poor hearing is what I trained myself to do. I trained myself to have poor hearing. I trained myself not to hear when people were being negative about themselves and the world. I trained myself not to hear when people did not believe in themselves. I trained myself not to hear anything which was putting someone else down in any way. Now, when you train yourself over a period of time not to hear that, and you live in your spiritual illumination, then sometimes you don't hear the nice things people are saying sometimes too, which is okay. But the thing is, you don't hear the negative things. Now, if I were to listen to each one of you in a normal conversation, I would pull my hair out.
Oh, la la.
And I'd pull my hair out because you are belittling yourself. You are saying, I can't do this. You are saying, I wonder what this is going to taste like. You wonder what it's going to taste like. You know what it's going to taste like. You know. You don't wonder. You know. You know. Why?
Because you know everything.
Because you're God. And you know everything. And you see, I wonder. You know. And I wonder what the answer to that question is. You know. You know. You see, we are so accustomed to doing these things, and we think it is the proper thing to do, because otherwise we're acting rather snooty about it, you know, superior. Well, you're not acting superior when you're being your divine self. Are you saying that God is snooty? That God is acting superior in the essence that we think of God, or as we think of ourselves as God, when we know it all? You see, the word know-it-all sounds like a naughty thing too. But does God know it all? Do you as God know it all? Are you God?
Yes.
And then why do you say you don't know it, you know? Well, we play that game, we pull that game, and I stop hearing it. I stop hearing it from you because I know that's not really what your choice is, but it's certainly what you're demonstrating in your world. And when you say that there's going to be an accident, oh, look, oh, I don't even hear that. I surround everything with my pure white light of love and see everything divine and beautiful. Now, can you do that? Maybe you'll stop hearing things too. Maybe you'll stop hearing Mrs. Kravitz, you know. And you'll stop hearing somebody who's always out to belittle something. Or is she belittling something? Or is she merely recognizing things that are mm-hmm. and trying to understand why?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we think she's got a big mouth that she keeps it closed because she gets everybody in trouble. But really, what is she doing? Do you know there is a new disc that's coming out? In fact, 3.0 USB ports are coming out later this year. And it's going to be backward programmed. And 3.0 will take it'll take more than 480 megabytes a second. It'll take like 5 gigabytes in a very short time, you know. And the disk on which it is not going to be a multi-layered disk like the current disks are made to do. It will be a single layered disk with 5 gigabytes on it. 5 gigabytes on the disk. Now, it will have the equivalent of 400 motion pictures.
Wow.
400 motion pictures on it. Now, that's amazing, you know. So, and one disc, you know, can you imagine? you want to, well, let's see, what do you want to watch? Oh, I'd like to watch X. Oh, out she comes, you know. Out she comes. And then, do you know what? You know my little... crucial chip, you know that one?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Yeah. How much does that have on it? 16 gigabytes. 16 gigabytes. Well, now, if 5 gigabytes is 400 motion pictures, 16 gigabytes of 18, 1,800,000 movies on it. That's a chip. It's a chip. You know, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Truly. And like I have what the bleep do we care on my 1 gigabyte chip, you know, or is it a little less than a gigabyte? Anyhow. he put it on there for me, you know, Daniel. So, you see, we have the potential of being aware of everything, of being everything, of living immortally, of being all... We are living immortally whether we recognize it or not. We may pretend that we're not, but we really are. And you can't understand that because you cannot define that. You cannot tell people what that means because people say, well, that doesn't equate my thinking system, and that's true. No. It's a fact. It's a fact that there is no time and no space. Have you got equated to that? No. And the world is good and only good? That's not true. The world is and only is. There is no good. There is no bad. There is no good. There is no bad. So therefore, the world cannot be good and the world cannot be bad. Now, boy, theologians will give you a big tussle over that. And the religions will give you a big tussle over that. And the people give you a big tussle over that because how can we judge other people if there's no right or wrong? How about that? Didn't they say about no judgment? Mm-hmm. Now, can you understand why?
Because it doesn't really exist.
It doesn't exist. I think that's probably enough for you tonight. So, think on these things and put them to work in your life. And realize that my most effective affirmations are done during my meditations because my mind expands and explodes and explores all the magic of the universe that is. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.